Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson. Well, teens love the gram, Instagram that is. 72% of them use the platform, according to a recent Pew study. But in another recent survey, one in five people between the ages of 12 and 20 said they experienced bullying on the platform. Instagram is taking new steps to fight back against bullies. You can join the conversation. How has bullying on social media affected your family, your teenager? We want to hear your stories. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook. We're there at On Point Radio. With me now from San Francisco is Katie Steinmetz, the San Francisco Bureau Chief for Time. You can link to her piece headlined Inside Instagram's War on Bullying. That's at our website, onpointradio.org. Katie, welcome to On Point. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So what has prompted this war on bullying by Instagram?
Part of it is what you mentioned. Bullying is a problem everywhere, but the user base of Instagram skews young. Nearly 80% of teenagers, according to multiple estimates, are on Instagram, and between a fifth and nearly a half of them have experienced bullying. The executives say that they know this, that they have a responsibility because bullying disproportionately affects young people and their user base skews young to take the issue seriously. The broader context, of course, is that social networks are under pressure to prove that they can police their platforms and keep them safe for users as regulatory bodies look at stricter oversight and even a breakup of companies. And the new head, Adam Mosseri, is starting to define his own chapter for the company and says that the well-being of users is his top priority, that both there is a moral imperative to take bullying very seriously for the well-being of users and a financial one, that long-term it will be bad for the platform as a business if they don't get a handle on problems like that.
So that's interesting. This is a moment when social media platforms, of course, are being blamed for a lot of problems with our teenagers, and they're under pressure, as you say, from the government to demonstrate that they can police themselves. So what you're saying is maybe this is not so voluntary, maybe they're being proactive here. Is that right?
I think in general, social networks are trying to take a more proactive versus defensive stance rather than waiting to see where the next fire is going to break out. They're trying to anticipate what is going to burst into flames. They've had so many problems they've dealt with, you know, from trolling to hate speech to fake news to bullying, that rather than being hauled in front of Congress to account for how those problems came to be in the first place, they want to do a better job of getting out in front of them and saying, we're aware of this, we take responsibility for it, and we're doing something about it, and hopefully, you know, they want to say it's working.
So the forms that bullying have taken on Instagram have changed over time a little bit. Describe what bullying looks like today, how it's defined.
How it's defined is very tricky. I'll come back to that in just a second, a few examples. First, there are a lot of what one might call old-fashioned forms of bullying on Instagram. The most common forms are things like mean comments, insults, and threats. But it comes in about every form that there is a feature on Instagram, photos and videos. Young people have videos and photos of themselves shared without their consent. There are so-called hate pages that are accounts that are expressly set up to mock or impersonate someone. People will take screenshots of one another's posts, they'll alter them and reshare them, or just make fun of them in group chats behind that person's back. Anonymous accounts are set up to spread rumors and gossip, including claims about sexual activity that can quickly spread around a teenager's entire school. People intentionally leave each other out by tagging several friends in a post and pointedly excluding someone. I mean, it takes an incredible variety of forms. Instagram is in the midst of extensive research to answer that first question of exactly what is bullying, in the hopes of doing better jobs of finding it on the platform.
Late last month, CBS This Morning host Gail King spoke to five teenagers who use Instagram every day. She asked how many had been cyberbullied, and they all raised their hands. Here's what two teenagers, Ashan and Jackson, had to say.
When I think of cyberbullying, I think of, like, pictures being posted, comments, like, mean comments, threats being thrown around. It's just, like, uncalled for and just mean and heinous.
I try to ignore it, but the problem with cyberbullying is that you can't really escape it.
Yeah.
Because you can't escape your phone.
You can't escape it. You can't escape your phone. That's really at the heart of this, isn't it, Katie?
Absolutely. The home used to be a refuge for teenagers. You'd get bullied at school, and then home would be a safe place. But now the bullies can follow you wherever you are, and they can come at you all the time.
So what is Instagram exactly doing?
So Instagram is both launching new features to combat bullying and developing artificial intelligence that it hopes will do a good job of proactively rooting out bullying content in the future. So one new feature, for example, that they're rolling out now and hope to have live globally by the end of the year is called a comment warning. It uses artificial intelligence to scan comments as people are typing them out. And if it detects bullying content, even borderline content, before that comment goes live, it will give the user a warning that says, we believe this may contain offensive material. Are you sure you want to post it? And so they're hoping that with nudges like this, they can get people to rethink words, be kinder on the platform. In the meantime, a lot of effort is going into both that research to understand the forms bullying can take and what it looks like in order to build artificial intelligence that can proactively scan, you know, every post, every photo, every video, every comment, and hopefully get good enough to automatically detect bullying and delete it before people even have to report it to moderators.
A couple of questions that come up as you speak of this. I wonder about privacy issues attached to this, and has it been tested? I mean, have they looked at this? Has it worked?
Yeah, there are privacy issues. For example, a lot of bullying happens in direct messages, which are essentially private messages between two people. And Instagram does not proactively scan those. It's incumbent on users to report bullying if it happens in that space. And so Instagram says, you know, artificial intelligence really isn't going to help them there. They're trying to make reporting easier so that people can take care of that themselves. And they are in the midst of testing this. There are a lot of numbers Instagram won't share. With the comment warning, for example, they would tell me, yes, it does seem to be effective. After people have been given a warning, they do tend, on average, to rethink their words and post something that the classifier, the AI classifier, does not think is bullying. But they're not sharing numbers about exactly how much content the AI is flagging now, how many times it's flagging things that human moderators agree is bullying versus say that the classifier's made a mistake and
right.
caught something
right.
that isn't. So it's hard to say exactly how good the technology is. It certainly is not as good as they want it to be and needs improving.
Listeners, we'd love to hear your stories, how bullying on social media has affected your family, your teenager. I'd like to let me give you the number, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. On that note, I'll bring another voice into the conversation. Sherry Bauman joins me from Tucson, Arizona. She's a professor of counseling at the University of Arizona, where she researches bullying, cyberbullying, and peer victimization. Also studies teacher responses to bullying. She's worked in public schools for 30 years, 18 of those as a school counselor. She's also a licensed psychologist. Sherry, welcome to On Point.
Hello.
So, what
thank
do you make
for inviting me?
Well, thank you for having. What do you make of these new features?
Well, I think it's commendable that Instagram is taking some responsibility to do something about the bullying that happens on their platform. On the other hand, I think, you know, the notion of rethink, which is flagging a message and asking, do you really want to send this, assumes that most of the unpleasant or mean comments are unintended. I think many of the people who post those kinds of comments would say, of course I want to post this. That's exactly what I want to say. So I question the fact that they're not working with researchers or sharing their internal researchers so we can evaluate the evidence. Is this type of approach worth the resources and time to develop it? And the other plan they're talking about is restricting followers to, because they know that young people are very reluctant to block or take obvious efforts to
against a bully.
Keep them, yeah. Right, because that often has unintended consequences, either in face-to-face interactions or the bully just choosing a different route. And my concern about that is that I don't know that if I were restricted, I wouldn't just open another account, because that's one of the affordances of Instagram that I think appeals to bullies. You can have multiple accounts, and there's no need for authentication. Nobody has to verify that you are, in fact, the person you say you are. So restrict me. Go ahead. Watch. I'm going to just make a new account and do the same thing. So I'm a little suspicious. Also, I know that artificial intelligence is an iterative process and takes a long time to get efficient. And the volume on these sites is just astronomical.
Right.
So now, I'm concerned that it's an ambitious but impossible task.
It's a big one, that's for sure. Ben is on the line from Des Moines, Iowa. I want to get him in here. Ben, how do you see this? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I am just wondering why there can't be sort of a one strike and you're out. You know, if teens are so addicted to these platforms, if they bully, they are banned for life.
Ben, thank you. Katie Steinmetz, can Instagram do that? Would they?
Instagram will kick people off the platform. Again, that's something they're not going to share exactly of where is that threshold exactly, when do you get kicked off versus warned that a post contained bullying and you're not allowed to do that on the platform. You know, Sherry points out, even when Instagram does take that step and kick someone off, it's very easy to get a new account and get back on the platform. So being proactive, you know, could help, but it's not going to fix the issue. And that also gets us into the thorny area of free speech. You know,
right.
When you're making these calls, it's really hard to say, you know, a lot of content will upset people that maybe should be protected as free expression. And the stricter you're being about the repercussions for that, kicking someone off versus giving them a warning, the more reason they have, you know, arguably to be upset if Instagram has made an overly harsh call that curbs free expression.
Ben, thanks for your call. Here's Amy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you. I'm not on Instagram, but my question is, if you're being bullied, are you able to just block that person like you can on some other social media?
Katie?
Yes, you can block them. And what happens when you block them is two accounts essentially don't see each other anymore. They kind of disappear to one another on the platform. But what Instagram has found is that teenagers are really loath to do this for two reasons. One, it's really obvious when someone's been blocked. And so that betrays hurt feelings for a teen. The bully knows that they've gotten to them. And two, then they can no longer see what that bully is doing. Maybe the bully is still talking about them. Maybe they're still spreading rumors about them. They want to have that continued oversight. And this is where this new feature that Sherry mentioned, Restrict, comes in, where they're trying to ferret out a middle ground here where they can, where a user can kind of restrict the movements of a bully, can have more oversight without the bully being fully aware that anything has happened.
Rick in Elizabethtown, New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my question is about whether defamation laws against libel and slander don't apply in some of these cases. If you were to make comments that affected somebody's reputation or made untrue comments about somebody in any other forum, you would be liable for the legal consequences of that. We're depending on Facebook and Instagram to put AI programs in place to keep these from happening. But when they do happen, can we not use defamation laws to get some sort of recourse?
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Good question. Katie, I'll turn that back to you.
Well, I'm not a First Amendment lawyer, so I can't tell you the exact details of how something like that would play out. I will tell you that there are different guidelines for how public figures and private individuals are treated when it comes to guidelines about bullying. We saw this in news this week, you know, sort of related to President Trump not being able to block people on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. There are different rules for public figures versus private individuals when it comes to issues surrounding speech. While Instagram is certainly going to be aware of that when it comes to certain public figures, I don't think that when it comes to private individuals, that's a really practical, or quick means of enforcement when a teenager is sitting in a room, you know, deeply hurt that someone has claimed that they are, you know, promiscuous. You know, I don't think bringing in the courts and laws like that will bring quick enough resolution, even if it did apply to private individuals.
Sherry Bauman, you've been working with kids for decades.
100 years.
Yeah, right. Do you think these new changes on Instagram will actually make a difference? You're seeing these kids every day online, cyberbullying. Got about 30 seconds here.
I hope they will make a difference. I'm a little cautious and would like to see some of the numbers that they're gathering so we can make informed decisions and decide, is this the right approach? We also need to engage with young people. Would you use this feature? How would that affect your behavior? What do you need in the way of support if you are targeted? And I think we need to stop operating in silos, the academics and the media and the technology companies have a lot to share.
They do. And we'll have to pick this up later because it's an important conversation. We just got the tip of the iceberg here today. Sherry Bauman, Katie Steinmetz from Time Magazine, thank you so much for being with us. And listeners, thanks so much to you. I'm Jane Clayson. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.